From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Alyssa Block. One of the countries winning big from high oil prices is the United Arab Emirates. This federation of seven small sheikdoms on the Persian Gulf became an independent state just 35 years ago in 1971. Thanks to oil, it is now one of the world's fastest growing economies. With the latest flood of petrodollars, the UAE's rulers have set even more ambitious goals. NPR's Ivan Watson reports from the capital, Abu Dhabi.
It's opera night at the Emirates Palace Hotel. In a gilded theater, Arab men in white robes and keffiyehs take their seats alongside Western couples for a performance of Georges Bizet's masterpiece, Carmen. This palace is a massive structure overlooking the Persian Gulf. Its cavernous halls, golden ceilings, and marble pillars reportedly cost as much as $3 billion to construct. The opulence here is a far cry from what the sheikhdom of Abu Dhabi looked like just a few decades ago. In an exhibit in another wing of the palace, tour guides show groups of schoolchildren photos of old Abu Dhabi.
If you can see it, these are the pictures of Abu Dhabi almost 40 years ago.
In those days, the city was little more than a dusty settlement on the edge of the desert, with huts made from palm fronds and no paved roads or bridges. Emirati industrialist Hussein Al-Nuwais remembers what life was like before oil transformed his country.
When I was 10 years old, which is 40 years ago, to come up to have a clean glass of water was difficult.
Today, the United Arab Emirates exports more than 2 million barrels of crude oil a day and sits on top of vast deposits of both oil and natural gas. Nuwais lives in a palatial mansion decorated with Italian marble and ornate Egyptian woodwork.
God have blessed us with the resources, oil and gas. We have exploited that resources to the best possible way.
In the 80s and 90s, the rulers of the nearby Emirati city of Dubai began investing their share of the country's oil revenues in building a world-class airport, seaport, airline, and tourist industry. Dubai is now the busiest transport hub in the region. Some 30 million passengers transit through its airport every year. Today marked the final day of a biannual air show in Dubai, where crowds gathered to watch F-18 warplanes fly ear-splitting loops over the tarmac. At the show, UAE companies like Emirates Airline and Dubai Aerospace Enterprise announced the purchase of hundreds of new commercial jets, amounting to more than $30 billion in sales.
They really want to be the crossroad of the world. It's the new Silk Road, and they want to be the center of it. And that's their vision.
Jean-François Sesnec studies the political economy of the Persian Gulf at Georgetown University. He witnessed the effects of the first oil boom in this region when oil prices spiked in the 1970s.
The first boom was really going from almost the sands to, you know, a fairly modern country. But now it's going from a fairly modern country to the one of the most advanced places in the world.
This promotional DVD describes a plan the Abu Dhabi government has unveiled to partner with MIT to build a research institute aimed at developing alternate, sustainable forms of energy.
The construction of a state-of-the-art photovoltaic power plant will harness the desert sun and deliver the energy required to build the new city.
Dr. Sultan Ahmed Al-Jaber is the project's director.
Would you choose that we invest in anything else but providing new clean solutions for power production and for energy sources? Wouldn't this be the best wise advice you would give to a rich nation that is getting most of its revenues from oil and gas?
Sheikh Alubna Al-Qasimi is the economy minister for the UAE. She says her government learned a lesson the last time oil prices crashed in the 1990s. It is now trying to diversify the economy and make the Emirates less dependent on oil exports.
The oil crisis taught us a very good lesson. You have wealth in your hands and you can use it or abuse it. You can misuse it.
One recent decision has been to build an aluminum and steel industry almost from scratch. Carl Andersen is the Norwegian operations manager at the newly constructed and rapidly expanding Mustafa steel plant.
The new equipment is around $900 million to build what you can see here today.
Andersen and an Indian engineer examine bundles of recently forged steel wire which emerge from a brand new furnace on a conveyor belt.
I believe this is also the softest material.
Yeah, because 1006.
At this factory, only 10% of the workers are Emirati citizens. The UAE has the money to finance ambitious new projects, but it relies on foreign workers to build and run them. Sarah Lee Whitson of the organization Human Rights Watch is a critic of the UAE's labor policy.
Foreign workers make up 95% of the labor pool. They basically run the entire country, and yet they do so in conditions where they have absolutely no bargaining power.
Whitson says the UAE exploits the armies of poorly paid guest workers imported from South Asia. Upon arrival, employers routinely seize worker passports and then deny laborers the right to form unions. Human Rights Watch has also criticized the Guggenheim Foundation for signing an agreement to build a modern art museum designed by Frank Gehry in Abu Dhabi.
To do so in a way that ignores the very serious problems, and to do so in a way where your own building is tainted by the sweat and labor and exploitation of these incredibly vulnerable workers is wrong.
The project in question is a plan to build a cultural district, which will include a futuristic performing arts center and a branch of France's Louvre Museum. That will consist of a huge white dome riddled with skylights over a network of man-made islands on the edge of the Persian Gulf. Skeptics may scoff, but if anyone has the money to complete these projects, it is the princes who rule the UAE and who control one of the biggest sovereign investment funds in the world. Everyone seems to want a piece of the action. Last weekend, in the court of the UAE's higher education minister, Sheikh Nahyan bin Mubarak Al Nahyan, businessmen and ambassadors from around the world sat on couches sipping tea as they waited for an audience with the host. But Sheikh Nahyan was busy, sitting beside soccer legend Pele, who was chatting in front of TV cameras with a young Emirati boy.
But you'll be my guest in Brazil, okay? Okay.
Afterwards, the Brazilian soccer star signed an agreement with the Arab Sheikh to open a new sports academy here in Abu Dhabi. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Abu Dhabi.